Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So please remember to continue to keep that in prayer. How many of you notice labels? You know, my sister actually, it's an interesting thing because my sister's job, I didn't even know that this was a profession. Her job is she works in a company that makes what's called rotodies, which are these pieces of flat metal that have little stencils on them that you put on a roller, and they go through a sheet of stickers, and they'll cut the shapes in the stickers. There's an entire business just of that. And so stickers are kind of fun. We'll sometimes be in the grocery store, and she'll pass, and she'll say, "Oh, you see that one, that kind of odd-shaped one? My company makes that." And she's all proud about that. And so I've begun to notice stickers a little bit more, but some of the stickers are somewhat disconcerting to me. So there's a label, there's a little sticker label here if you kind of show that. It's on a chainsaw, and it says, "Do not hold on the wrong end of the chainsaw." And there's a nice little picture of a guy whose fingers are being taken off. And I began to wonder, what moron holds the wrong end of a chainsaw? But obviously... Who said me? I meant to say, what classy person comes up with innovative ways to use a tool? You know, we don't have a scene for this, but I saw a label down at the lake on a jet ski. There was a label on a jet ski that says, get this, never use a lit match or open flame to check fuel level. Really? Okay, that's good. Here, look at this one. This one's a letter opener. There's a label on a letter opener that says this. Caution, blades are extremely sharp. Use safety goggles. Ah! I mean, you see this, you're like, what's going on? I don't have one for this, but I read that there's a label on certain manufacturers of eggs that get this. That on the side there's a label that says, product may contain eggs. What else is it supposed to contain? I bought a dozen eggs. I wonder what else is in there. I like this one. Here's a Superman costume. And on the back, there's a label that actually says this. Product does not enable flight or super strength. Can you believe that? So somebody obviously put the suit on and tried to do something. Oh, this one's really good. I need to show this one to my daughter. It's a hair dryer. And on the hair dryer, it has on the side of the box instructions for use. Do not use while sleeping. Who would do that? I mean, you got to think, really, who does? Oh, here's even a better one. On the side of a box of rat poison, there's a label that says, I'm not kidding, has been shown to cause cancer in laboratory mice. That's what I want to buy. It'll be bad for a while. This is another one. There's an iron, and on the packaging of the iron, it says, do not use on clothes while wearing. You've seen people do that? Okay, I could see doing that, putting the skirt on the board. But I'm talking about the brave guy who's like, going to get that crease good. Or what's even better is, I mean, I've done this one a few times, I'll be honest, is the steamer. I've steamed my clothes while wearing them from time to time. I've done that one. You try to lean it way back, then you get all... Anyway, that's probably too much. I don't have a picture for this one, but on the side of boxes of fishing hooks, for all of our anglers out there, this is harmful if swallowed. Seriously, you can't make this stuff up. And my favorite, my absolute favorite. comes to us by the makers of Fox Bobcat urine powder. It says, not for human consumption. I've got this image. What does my stew need? Potpourri? No. Some bobcat urine. Yes! Mama's secret ingredient. Just like Mama made. That's the spicy meatball. Yeah, that's what we need here. Okay, well, so our first point today, I mean, the bottom line is this. For each one of these warning labels, there was a foolish person who did that, who had to hire a lawyer to make a silly label so that my sister has a job. And my first point today is, people can be quite foolish. Who is going to eat Fox Bobcat urine powder? Please don't raise your hands. Please do not raise your hands. I mean, seriously, gang. You know, for each one of these people, what can we derive from this? That some people aren't swimming at the deep end of the pool, okay? If you have to have a label, say, don't eat the fishing hook, you know, we have some things. So people can be quite foolish. Would you agree with that, my church family? Yes, people can be quite foolish. Do I need to bring examples from your lives? Okay, we'll just avoid that. And being foolish is the opposite of being wise. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Now, that's different from knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. I know a lot of smart people who do some really dumb things. Anybody else know some really intelligent people who aren't necessarily wise? We see that all the time. There's a story of a drunk husband who snuck back to his house, and he quietly snuck in and he came into his house, and he looked at the bathroom mirror while his wife was sleeping, and he saw that he had bumps and bruises from a fight that he'd received earlier in the night. And he proceeded to climb into bed, smiling at the thought because he'd bandaged up his face. And he got up in the morning, and his wife was standing there and said, "You were drunk last night, weren't you?" And the wife said, "Well, how did you know? How did you know?" And he said, "Well, if you weren't, then who put all those Band-Aids on the bathroom mirror?" Exactly. So, gang, you can think that you have a plan. You can think you're going to be smart. But the bottom line is, without the correct application of wisdom, we're in trouble. So we're beginning a series here called Foolproofing, which is valuing wisdom. And we, as followers of Christ, we really need to understand wisdom. We're going to look at how to apply the wisdom of God's Word. In fact, there are three books of the Bible that are specifically tailor-made for those of us who may think, what does bobcat urine taste like? For those of us who aren't necessarily the wisest or the sharpest tools in the shed, there are three entire books: the book of Proverbs, the book of Job, and the book of Ecclesiastes. And as we go through, we're gonna focus on the book of Proverbs, but I want you to know that you're gonna need the other two to balance out. I've got 4 points for you. You've already had the first one here today. But today we want to do a quick flyover about the author and begin to look and crack into the book of Proverbs to understand some of who wrote it and what it's about and why it's there. So the author is King Solomon, the primary author of Proverbs. This is King David's son by Bathsheba, and he likely, again, wrote the majority of this book, although there may have been some other authors at the end that he gathered and compiled their information. So King Solomon, he gets to the throne at a very, very young age, and he has this tremendous encounter with the Lord in a dream. And this encounter gives us some background about wisdom. So let's look, if you would join with me, in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read verses 5 through 14. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and gave him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? He goes on and says, it reads that it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk, and here's a conditional promise, and if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. My second point for us today is this, is that wisdom comes from God. Okay? Wisdom comes from God. It's interesting to me that what he asked. He went to God and asked God, look, I need to understand how to go in and come out. I need to understand the difference between good and evil. And here's why I think that that's an appropriate thing for us today. Remember what was lost at the Garden of Eden? And remember how it was lost? I mean, we had this fellowship with God. Man was walking and they were talking with him in the cool of the day. They had this great relationship with God. And there was one rule, and that was, hey, to stay in this place of eternal fellowship and this place of life and health and blessing and prosperity, here's what you need to do. Do not eat. You can eat from any tree in the garden, but do not eat from one specific tree. And that tree was what, gang? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is what's interesting. It's like he's going, and Adam and Eve, instead of God defining what's good and evil, Adam and Eve eat this fruit and begin to define good and evil on their own terms. And then their offspring, you begin to see what comes from this. When we decide to choose what is right and what is wrong, it opens up the flood for all kinds of horror and murder and immorality. And mankind begins to spiral out of control very, very quickly. And here's Solomon in the face of that, who comes to God and asks this question. I need you to tell me what is good and what is evil. What a message for our society today. Our society who stands in the face, who likes to stand and tell God that we know better than him. To tell God that, oh, your principles and your word is irrelevant anymore. In stark contrast of this, we see Solomon saying, God, you tell me. In other words, he's saying, God, I want you to be the judge and I'm going to trust you. I know that you're beyond me and so I'm going to come to you for understanding. I don't make the rules, you do and you have, and so I humble myself to your ways. I will trust in you. In our current age, we live in the age here in the United States and the age in the world in general, where we are defined by an arrogance that tells God how it is. And to the point we're now remaking ourselves according to our own image. Now, let me tell you, this image is an imagination. It's a thought. It's something that sets itself up against God according to our own thoughts rather than how our Heavenly Father created us. In other words, we tell God all the time in our society, we know better than you. We know better than you. Solomon rejected his own ability and asked God for help. And brothers and sisters, I'd like to submit to you today that that's the beginning. The beginning of wisdom for us. True wisdom comes from God. Immediately, Young Solomon is tested with a tough problem. Two women are fighting over a baby because they had both had an infant. One had died. And so they're arguing. And Solomon demonstrated this God-given wisdom to solve the matter. You can read it on your own in verses 16 through 28. And so here, this author whom God has inspired to write thousands of Proverbs. This is a book about wisdom by someone who God blessed with wisdom. So let's now turn to the book of Proverbs and just begin to crack the book here as we enter our study over the next several weeks. It begins, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And right off the bat, we see kind of the why and the how. We've talked about the who of the book of Proverbs, and now we're going to talk about the why and the how for this book. Okay? It says, "To know wisdom and..." Let's all read this together. Proverbs chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ready? I'm sorry, chapter 2 through 4. Let's all read together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth." My heavens, don't we need that, gang? My heavens, we see right there. It's kind of like, hey, take this. And this is what it's supposed to do. Here is the purpose. Here's the intent for what is to follow. It's a preamble that lets us know that God has something for us. And here's the great thing, is this proverbial wisdom, if you will, comes from the heart of God Himself. Because Solomon's foundation is he doesn't try to figure this out. He asks God to let him know. He goes on in verse 5, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." I like that. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. "And the one who understands, obtain guidance." To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. I like this. And what he's letting us know is we come to God and there are some problems in life. There are some things that are very hard for us to figure out, right? I mean, let's face it. We have farmers sitting around right now, as we heard Roger just be very transparent with us today. He's in a difficult situation. But I love how he said it, "But I'm trusting in God." Some of us are coming to places of transition in our lives. We have graduates who have just walked out and been given a diploma, and now out the door they go and they're faced with new challenges. We have individuals who are deciding where to go in college. We have individuals who are completing college and now realize they got to pay back school loans and enter the real world. We have individuals who say, "Look, I just don't know what my path is going to look like." We have individuals who have endured crisis and turmoil. And it feels like the things around them are like a riddle. How can we understand it? Well, what we can do is turn to wisdom that comes from the Lord. I like this. He goes on to say, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of..." Let's all read verse 7 together. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay, we all need to read that one more time because this is the key element to the entire book of Proverbs. Ready? "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." All right, so this is a powerful thing. This is setting out. Here's our preamble for what's going to come forward. And then we're going to go on to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. And we're going to see that as much as wisdom comes from God, which I hope you've been able to see, and I hope we realize that the heart of Solomon is perhaps even tied in to redoing maybe one of the most unwise or the most foolish moves that has ever taken part in humanity, which is to reject God. We can see this. Proverbs come from God, and wisdom comes from God. But the truth is, my third point, other voices distract us from God's wisdom. Other voices distract us from God's wisdom. Go ahead and hit Proverbs 1:10 if you would there. "My son," so coming right off of this is everything wisdom's going to do. This is why we need it. This is how it's going to help us. We find that he turns and says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason.'" See, now we're finding the heart of God as the Father. We're seeing the heart that's reflected as Solomon writes that wisdom is this Father who's trying to help. Do not forsake your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching, it says in verse 8 and verse 9. For they're a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. This is setting them up, that they're calling out. So wisdom is calling out even when we refuse to listen. And I bet all of us have some story in our lives where we got some pretty poor advice. And the sad thing is, some of us agreed to follow it. Some of us agreed to follow it. Going on to verse 20 and 22. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. Somewhere there was a voice that was crying, "Don't eat the bobcat urine powder." I don't think we have to leave a proverb. Then we have some things called common sense. But it's there. It's there. I like the story of a young and a foolish kind of brash pilot. He was coming in his first time at night, and he was approaching the field, and he wanted to be really cool on the aviation frequencies. And instead of making an official request, he simply said this, "Guess who?" as he approached the landing field. And so the tower controller switched off the landing lights and said, "Guess where?" Brothers and sisters, for us today, wisdom is there, and wisdom is calling out, but there are other voices. We are inundated with other voices. We're inundated with other ways to do it. We're inundated with strategies and ways that we can reject God's word, that we can reject God's kingdom principles and try to do things on our own. And to this, the Solomon lets us know that wisdom, in fact, cries aloud in the streets right after he said, look, there's other voices that are going to come and say that we have a different way. We have an easier way. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. It's interesting, in the markets, in the marketplace, in the places of commerce. In the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Verse 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate? What can we do with this? Well, this brings me to kind of my final thought for today. But it's important as we begin to look at the book of Proverbs. Because some people take Proverbs kind of like a prescription. They say, if I take this, this will happen. Proverbs is one-third of the books of wisdom. One-third of the books of wisdom. And yes, there's some wonderful things. But so my final point for us today as we begin going through Proverbs is a warning. It's a warning. Say, hey, look, don't eat fishing hooks. Because some people have shipwrecked their lives because of this wrong thought of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is actually about probabilities, not guarantees, is my final thought. Here's what I mean. Proverbs is wisdom, and it is general wisdom. It is saying, look, here is some framework. Here is some wise saying. Then if you follow those, it should happen. You are going to put yourself in position for good things to happen. I have one big parenting phrase that I use with my kids, okay? And I've used it since they were little, and I've said this. God gave you a head. Don't be in the place where bad things happen. Simply like this. Look, avoid drama. I kind of say it on their level. Stay away from drama. You know, if you're out and you're hanging around, I understand that there's going to be people. But if you put yourself in the place where foolishness is happening, you're going to be in a place where bad things are going to happen to you and around you. So one third of this wisdom, this is a promise. It's not a promise that bad things won't happen. And some people read Proverbs and say, okay, if I do this and if I do this, it's a guarantee that bad things won't happen in my life. That's not what it's saying. And that's why we have Ecclesiastes, and that's why we have Job. This is only one third of wisdom literature, along with Job and Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes lets us know this message. Ecclesiastes tells us, look, stuff happens to everyone, and it's difficult to make sense of it. It's like meaningless, trying to figure what life is about. But at the very end, he brings it into focus, and he says, the fear of the Lord is the essential. In other words, understanding that God is God, and we live in a life that sometimes doesn't make sense. Proverbs says, look, here's the prescription. Here's the probabilities. Here are ways to keep yourself girded up. Ecclesiastes says, but there's a time and a season for everything. There's going to be stuff that comes. And then Job kind of really helps us out a lot. That tough stuff happens to good people. And that's what trips up Christians. We assume that because we're doing the right thing, that it's going to work out the way that we feel it should happen. Job at the beginning is a righteous man, and there's no one like him. And everything seems to go wrong in his life. But the fear of the Lord will reveal that God has a wisdom. This is what Job found out at the conclusion of Job. That the fear of the Lord will reveal that God has a wisdom beyond ours, and that ultimately will prove faithful. So what is Proverbs for us? If it's not guarantees, but it's probabilities, it's giving us this promise that if we live according to God's wisdom, you are putting yourself in a position for positive things. You're putting yourself in the position to receive blessings. And that, yes, sometimes hard times will come. Sometimes things that make no sense will be there. But we can fall back in trusting that God's ways and the fear of the Lord will see us through those. And if we ignore this wisdom, we're putting ourselves in a position for difficulty. In other words, the book of Proverbs are here skills for living life well in God's economy. We live in God's moral universe. This book is not just good advice. It's an invitation from God to learn wisdom from precious generations that go before. Again, it's not promises, but it's probabilities. We need the book of Proverbs, we need the book of Job, and we need the book of Ecclesiastes. In other words, for us to get the big picture, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let's look to Him. Let's look to God, as Solomon did, to give us the definition of good and evil. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.